The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to podcast number 23. On this edition of the podcast, come take a walk with me as you will learn how I learned how to learn to go to a new location that I'll be going to a few days a week. We briefly talk about intersections, various kinds of lights, counting driveways, taking steps, things that might aid a blind person to find the particular location in which we need to go on a regular basis. I did briefly discuss various types of intersections, such as T-intersections, push buttons, regular lights, left turns, right turns, and the whole bit. You'll want to keep your eyes open if you are definitely on the road listening to this. However, if you are in a place where you can close your eyes and imagine taking a walk with me, you might have an idea of how complicated the whole thing might sound. And yes, we do count driveways. Have any questions, comments, or concerns? Please contact me through the White Cane Travel website at www.whitecanetravel.com. That's www.whitecanetravel.com. I hope that you will enjoy the podcast as much as I have putting it together for you. Between the first and second segment, the track you will hear will come from the Magnatune label at www.magnatune.com. The track comes from the album The Ruin Falls by D.P. Kaufman, and the track is entitled The Second Beginning. We hope that you will enjoy this podcast as much as I have putting it together. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on another edition real soon. Alright folks, welcome to White Cane Travel. I think this is appropriate to do this podcast while I am out and about. And today I'm going to talk about the interesting subject of training when it comes to learning new routes. Now, on February 10th, 2017, with the group that I have been with for the last couple of years, who have taught me a lot, wanted me to go to a couple of new sites. Now, it's a different program from where I have been, and I feel that I will continue to learn. So they let me do some training to get familiar with how to get to one particular place, because it will be irregular. The bus itself was easy, and
The only difficulty out of it was a conflicting of times. But I think I understand now, after doing some more looking, that it is a little bit different than doing it through, let's say, Metro, because it was telling me 7:43, but when I looked more closely, although I thought I understood it when I did it before, it was giving me the 7:53 bus and a 10-minute walking time. So it was pretty accurate. So beyond that, the trip went smoothly. I got to the corner of where I needed to be about 20 minutes early. I don't know if John and I have ever talked about surveying the light. And I was not standing at the corner where the cars would want me to cross. I was standing a little further away, listening. I couldn't watch the cars per se because I wasn't close enough to them. But I was just listening to the way the light operated. There are different types of lights. There are standing greens, which I'm currently crossing right now. This means that there is a limit line on one street where the cars have to wait, and no crosswalk on the other street, meaning that the cars may go through. They do have to wait to make a left-hand turn to make sure there's no cars coming, but for the most part, they can go through. It's also a T-intersection where I just crossed because the street doesn't go through. You have to make a left or a right. There's also the left and right-hand turn arrows where one side will make a left and the other side will make a right. There's also single left-hand turn lights. And there are also single right-hand turn lights. And, of course, your typical stop light. You have to know whether there's a push button or not. There's a lot to understand. And I was doing a little bit of training while they were training me on stuff. Now, what helps me in my endeavor is the stoplights that don't have a button, because it's hard to tell whether there is unless you go up to a pole and check it out. Even with peripheral vision, sometimes it's hard to tell. But what helps me too is my peripheral vision. I was talking to somebody earlier, and I do, for the most part, use my peripheral vision where I can. Now, I can't personally see the lights, so I have to rely on the patterns. Now, as I come up, and you guys know where I live, for the most part, I talk about major streets like Ventura Boulevard and DeSoto and Van Owen and some of these streets that I've been talking about where I've been having crossing issues. I will let you hear the button at Ventura where I'm going now. Some buttons are loud and some are quiet. On these particular ones, I put my finger on it, and when I feel it vibrate, I go. I actually like the fact that they put the vibrating buttons over here. I will wait. This sidewalk, which is also a challenge, has trees and poles and things on one side of it. I'm coming up to another one. As I feel it, it feels like gravel with the cane. I don't know if it's actually gravel or what's there, but it is another obstacle that we have to worry about. Again, as I'm surveying the area, there is a street across from where I am, where the crosswalk is, but I have a full sidewalk, so there's a T-intersection on the other side. They can cross over here. During school hours, where students are getting out or coming in, there is a crossing guard to help them cross safely. So while I was training, it seemed to me that they were asking me about whether I could see a number. And I had to actually look up. I'm not as tall to see what's above my head, but I was able to make out a number, which was a 1. Now, coming the other way, which would be south, a little bit south, it's a little bit tricky to rely on the numbers because I have to turn to the right personally because I can't see them otherwise. One of the things that they had me do, which I somewhat do anyway, especially when I'll show you how I get to the door to where I'm going, is I go ahead and I do count driveways at times, and I do pay attention to landmarks. Now, when you're totally blind, and people who listen to this can correct me if I am wrong, and I will be more than happy to make that correction. But they will count their steps, especially if they know that they've crossed X amount of streets and so forth. Now, as I approach Ventura Boulevard, I already know that the light had changed because I heard the cars, and you can hear them going in front of me, and I'm going to wait till the next light because it had just changed and I wasn't at the light and all of that. Now, as you can hear, the light, the thing is beeping, and I press it and it makes that sound. This isn't all that loud, but it is loud enough on this side. Now, on the other one from the southwest to the northwest, this is a little bit tricky. So now that the cars are on my right, and I just noticed a car make it a left-hand turn, which they can do, it is a different type of light. On this particular light, if you stood here, the cars in front of me, directly in front of me, are going first, which include left-hand turn and a right-hand turn. And then the far side before that would go. Now, you heard that. That tells me that it's safe to go, and the cars in front of me, otherwise known as far side parallel, will cross. I would show you the light from the southwest to the northwest, but today's travel is going to take me westbound. After the light turns green for the Ventura Boulevard cars, at some point, probably about 20 to 30 seconds, the cars will stop. When I first learned how to cross this street, the southbound cars will go, and those right-hand turn cars, if it's safe to do so, will cross. Then, after some time, the northbound cars will go. I sense a car, so I'm going to wait and determine what's happening first, and I think they're going to wait for me. As you can tell, I couldn't quite see it. I wasn't close enough, but I could sense it in a way where I could hear it. Now, if you remember the time I got clipped, there was no way for me to hear anything because there was nothing to hear. The car was silent. And I understand that's where we're going, and I still need to read this 9-hour document I'm in the midst of reading, but had to put it down for a while. So as I have continued to train and observe the lights, which is why I stopped to explain how this one works, I recognized that there were left-hand turns, but I believe that they were crossing and making left-hand turns with regular traffic. I don't believe there was a particular light. And it seemed to me to be a regular-looking light where each one was timed. I think there was a car that just went through that into that driveway behind me, and I just cleared it. I tend to always look around me to sense if anything is coming. We're about to go to a standing green, which I'm actually needing to cross. Ventura Boulevard has the right-of-way. There's no crosswalk for them, but there's a crosswalk for me. I believe that this street does go through. I think there's a car there wanting to make a left. I think I'm okay, so I will cross. On the standing greens, the cars have to wait behind the limit line, which is a short line that was explained to me that allows cars to stop and us to cross. And after a while, the signal will recognize that and allow them to cross. So that's a little bit about observing lights. Once I was able to find somebody, we did cross from the northeast side of the street I was on to the southeast side, and I met everybody. And then we all crossed to the southeast side. This is where it got a little bit interesting. I walked with them, so I wasn't getting formal training yet, but I did recognize that we were crossing multiple amounts of driveways. This is important to know, because even while I am going to my appointment today, I know that I'm crossing quite a number of driveways. I don't know how many. There's at least 10 to 15 or more that I must cross to get to my destination. It's not as simple to count every single driveway to go to every single place. But I knew here that I might have to, only because of the fact that I was not exactly sure how far it was, but they said it was three buildings. But I didn't quite understand what that meant, but that's what I was told. I'm approaching my street, which is a light. And this car is in the middle of the intersection. Nice. Going. Right now he's going to turn. Most of the cars turn right or left at this particular street. Some will go through. But it is still something we need to pay attention to. So, I knew that this was going to be an issue. I might have to count driveways, and it was going to be important that I did. Because it wasn't that far. When we return to the podcast, I am going to talk about how that training took place and how I was able to understand the driveway count between me going from one place to the other and back. But before I go, I just crossed the last street to where I need to go, and I do know that there are at least two driveways here. One looks like it's got a gate. Maybe it isn't a driveway. And the other is a parking lot to another business. And after I cross the parking lot, which I'm about to do, I will arrive at my destination. There are two businesses here, so learning where the other one was, which I had frequented, wasn't that big of a deal to know, because it's right next door. So when we return to the podcast, I am going to talk about how I dealt with learning how to go to this new place I'll be going on a regular basis. Thanks for listening. And we will continue with more of the cast. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I am back, and I'm about to go ahead and go on home. I'm not going to describe the crossings like I did earlier, but now I'm going to talk about the idea of the training. Now, when I learned to go to this place, I just went. I did do a little bit of what I was talking about earlier, counting how many blocks, trying to determine how I was going to know what door I needed to enter, and the whole bit. When I was first driven to this place, I didn't really have an idea of where we were. I sort of had some idea, because afterward I thought maybe I'd take the bus, but I found out what corner it was on and decided that walking this would be better. So, I'm on the northeast corner of the street and where I need to be, and they're telling me I need to go to the southwest corner. And there's two ways to cross, and overall it doesn't matter as long as you get there. You can go from northeast to northwest, and northwest to southwest, or northeast to southeast, and then southeast to southwest. Basically, you're going to be crossing twice. Now, I've already taken you through crossing a little bit in regards to the aspect of making sure that you do it safely. And it doesn't help when somebody decides they're going to do something crazy. And I've been in those situations too, I'm sure. So, when I went to the place I went to this morning, I knew that there was at least one or two driveways before I went to the first door past the, I believe it's second driveway. And here, it is a lot different. There are some symbols that you can use over where I'm going to be on a regular basis to be able to know where I am. The first clue to knowing was that there is a gas station there. And if you have ever crossed gas stations, there are two driveways to the gas station. I've never understood why there were two gas stations. The second is that there are even more driveways. They explained to me what was around, and there is a ramp and a driveway and all sorts of crazy things. Now, I could tell there was a ramp. Now, if you're totally blind, you'd have to put your cane on everything and feel it and understand it, and I'm sure that if that is what you need to do, that would be all right. And of course, if you were totally blind, I'm sure that you would need more time than just a couple of hours or an hour, which is pretty much what I got. They wanted to make sure I was comfortable. I think I'm okay. And I'm going to describe to you how I managed to get from there to the place and how I understand where it's going to be. So, as we're walking south, I am learning various things, such as this is the first driveway to the gas station. This is the second driveway to the gas station. This driveway is for this type of place. This is a ramp. And this is another driveway. So, that's all well and good. So that's five different driveways that I had to count. And to top it all off, there are additional landmarks. There are plants and flowers and things that I was able to detect. They asked about a fire hydrant that was lower down, but I have to actually look down. So instead of trying to look down while walking, I want to see about getting things that are head high, maybe a little higher. As I'm approaching the final street that I need to cross before turning to go on home, this particular button going back to crossing, and I'm going to wait for the next light. The intersection that I am actually going to as part of the training doesn't have any of these. So you can't hear a bloop. You can't hear any of that. But I'm coming back because, as you can hear, this one's a little bit lower than the one across the street. So, the particulars of walking south and learning what's around me, and then, you know, when they stopped, I was like, wait a minute. And that's when I learned what's around me, which is what I'm doing now. The light has vibrated, so I'm going to cross. The other things that I was able to learn from going to the new place was that on the building itself, it had the address, and I was able to look up and see that. I thought it said 8121, but they told me it was a 5, and I was able to detect that. Now, for a totally blind person, I completely understand that that is not going to help you. Everything that you're going to use for landmarks have to be ground level with a cane. And I totally understand that. So, the plants that are around there, plus the different detection in walkway, where the door was a big indication of the changes that I need to detect, either with my good eye or the cane. The flowers that I talked about were about eye level. There were various different colors, and it's something to see. Now let's talk about going to the restaurant that they group that I will be with unless I get a full-time job, which I hope I will, is going to meet. Of course, this is a different type of program where I'm still going to be working on skills, but I can be there as long as I need to be, or unless I get a job otherwise. Now, going to the restaurant, there were more driveways to count. So not only do we, as disabled people, need to get accustomed of counting the driveways to get to the place, but if you're going somewhere else, like a restaurant, then you need to keep track of all of that. And one of my coworkers was actually amazed at the fact that I'm able to do that. They asked me a question. So before I get to that question, I want to talk about how this went down. So learning from the location to the restaurant, I counted driveways. I had to stop at each of them and I had to scan to see if there were any particular obstacles I needed to worry about. So, learning this, I was able to detect 3 driveways and a rail. Now, the last driveway was to the restaurant, but if we can avoid it and we can find a walkway, we always do. And there was a walkway that would take me directly to the door, which that walkway was kind of weird because it's got an up and down kind of incline thing. It's got the new detectable things that we're not now finding at crosswalks. And it's just weird. And so I learned all that. So not only do we as disabled people have to keep in mind, you know, how many driveways, if that's what we're needing to do. Some may do it by steps. Some may do it by their peripheral vision. And some may use a combination of it. So, if I was going to go directly to the place where I'm going to be on certain days of the week, if I was going to go directly there, it's five driveways. Now, as I indicated to the restaurant, it's 8. But to the way back to the facility from the restaurant, it's 3. And you're sitting there going, how do you keep track of all of that? Well, that's part of mobility training. And the first several podcasts of this series talks about mobility training in depth. Feeling a block with, you know, grass, and they're explaining that the grass is trees and the blocks, of course, are your sidewalks. And they would say, all right, this particular way is north, this particular way is south, this particular way is east, this particular way is west. And slowly but surely you start understanding directional corners and all of this, and I'm not going to harp on that at this point. The training, I thought, went really well. These employees of the group that I cannot mention, which I really would like to, but they tell me no. They actually listen to this podcast, too. They're not certified mobility instructors. But from what I've been able to get to train them and the mobility training session that I gave them, they were able to understand a little bit about how we travel enough so that if somebody such as myself needed additional training elsewhere, we're able to give it. So, what I've been able to take out of this is two things. The restaurant that I need to be at, which I did go into and sort of take a look around, is 8 driveways. And in most places, from the corner, restaurants could be that far. But in most cases, in this particular situation, that's where I'll more than likely go. And it was interesting to sort of take the hour and sort of observe and sort of understand the different types of detections that we need to do. For example, the walkway to the door that I actually need to go in at the particular place that I'll be at is going to be they described it to me as a tile color. But it's definitely different than the asphalt. And so if I was to do that, that would be how that would go. Learning about what's around me, in the sense of what the driveways were going to, really helped me understand how efficient I need to be in getting there safely. They're telling me that the one of the driveways was going to be cars coming in, but they did make a point and say, don't be surprised if cars come out of here. And so we all know from experience that nowadays drivers just aren't paying attention to what's going on. They just drive. If they realize you're there, they'll wait, but they really want to get going. They don't have a lot of time. I feel by giving this training session and doing it while I'm out and rehashing how we detect the crossings and how we are able to cross, really should make you aware that you need to slow down. It is not a race. If you're running late, that is on you. Please pay attention to what is around you, because it is going to cost you more than it would if you would have just waited. One of my buddies is having to deal with a company. It was not having anything to do with mobility travel, but there was a situation that took place that he has been dealing with, and it was their fault, the accident that took place. It wasn't during mobility training, it was something else. But look what that company has to go through now to just clear their name and make a good reputation of themselves. I couldn't imagine, having to go through what Tim and Steph went through in an earlier podcast where it was a mobility accident. Somebody did get hurt, and now that driver will more than likely have to pay. If you just pay attention and you understand how we are going to various places, whether it's, you know, for the first time, or even, you know, I've gone to places just by chance. I walk in some place. What place is this? And they tell me, and I sat down and I ordered food, but I never really learned how to get there. It was just by chance, like, oh, there's a door here. What's in here? I sense it might be food, but I'm not sure. I've done that too. But in most cases, if you're learning a route to a specific place, there's a really good reason why. And in this case, only one day of training did it. Now, if you are going to a school, you'll probably need more days. There's a lot to learn in a school. You have to know where all of your classes are, and that takes a lot longer. And you have to know your landmarks and all of this. And, you know, it is tough. I don't want to say this is easy. You know, learning a route to a location and understanding your landmarks to get there is one thing. But learning your way around a school, or in my case, a hospital, took time. When I learned the hospital, it was a lot different because of the fact that I had no real direction. They would tell me to get off at this, take this elevator, go to this floor, turn here, and make a quick turn here, and then after you pass these elevators, turn here, or go straight, depending on where we were going. I completely understand each person's going to be different, but I wanted to take the opportunity and talk about my own experience on learning how to get to my new location, which I'm going to be starting on the 13th of the month of February. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to contact me. My email address is jared@whitecanetravel.com. That's J-A-R-E-D @whitecanetravel.com. I wanted to do this podcast while I was out, both going to my location this morning and coming home from my location this morning, so you can hear the sounds around me and understand, you know, what I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, you know, rehashing the crossing and showing you that, you know, the button is, you know, some of them may not be loud. And of course, don't forget the actual push buttons that are still out there that don't vibrate. I hope that this has been of value. We do have an email list on our website. You may ask questions, get yourselves on it, understand how we travel so that you all can be familiar with how things are done in training-wise, and understand how we learn different things. I think it is something that if you take slowly and you understand it to a point where you understand that you need to be more cautious, then I've done my job. For White Cane Travels Podcast, I am Jared Reimer. Thank you so much for listening. And we will go ahead and catch up with you at a different time. As I'm about to end, one car is going to turn right, one turns left at this intersection. This is a T intersection, but they can only go straight, left, and right. both turn, cars looked to make sure what was going on, and both cars made their turn. So this again is another type of T-intersection here where I live. So now, with that out of the way, let's end the podcast, and I'll see you on another edition of the podcast real soon.